importance of what it looks like with the information we've gathered to start to reverse the burden of proof. And reversing the burden of proof is acknowledging that an unbeliever is making assertions about life, and those assertions of particular truths that they've made have reasons to it which make it an argument. They have an argument for why they believe what they believe, and you are often in the position to think that, well, they've got this, and now I just need to defend Christianity, and I got to give all my reasons for it. And instead, you're pushing them to give clear proof for the assertions they're making. And you're reversing the burden. You're putting the burden back on them because they're making the claim of what they believe. And so as you're doing that, as you're trying to think about doing that winsomely, obviously logically, you're putting your artistic, we got that popping going on. It's okay, don't worry about it. It's not the end of the world. You know, you're putting your personality to it, your stamp on it, and the way that you're going to engage that person is to eventually lead them toward Christ. You're leading them back toward Christ. Two things I want to accomplish today. Now, we have less time than I thought we would have, which is okay. I want to bring Chloe up here for a quick second. I gave you a sheet last week. On the back of that sheet were questions that I commended to you to have a conversation with an unbeliever. Did anybody do that? You did? Okay. Well, so here, so here's Chloe.
Hi. I'm not on. I am. Hi.
So Chloe was a student of mine in ninth grade as I teach a class at Redeemer, just one class. And we encourage the students to do this very exercise that I commended to you all last week. And there are five questions on that sheet. What do you think? Where do you think the world came from? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Where do you believe morality comes from? What do you believe about life after death? And to gather information, and so I asked the students, okay, you're going to go out, friend, neighbor, family member, go down to JMU, go down to downtown, and have a conversation with somebody who's willing to entertain this, you know, exercise, if you will. Give me just a, who did you end up talking to?
Yeah, so I and two other classmates went downtown because I thought that I had a better chance of finding someone of a different religious background there than the rest of my life. So I went downtown, and just me and my other two classmates just went up to random strangers and just said, hey, I have this school project, and I have like five questions. Can I interview you? And so I ended up, I believe I interviewed three people. I only remember two of them, but I think it was three. Yeah, so we just went up to random strangers.
So of those two, if you can recall perhaps the most interesting of the two, what did you hear?
So a lot of what I heard was she knew kind of basic truths of like the gospel. So for instance, the question of like, what about life after death? She said like, okay, well, I think there's heaven and hell, and like the good people go to heaven and the bad people go to hell. But it was a lot of, she didn't necessarily like believe what she was saying. She just kind of thought like, okay, this is a thought out there. This is what some people think. But she didn't necessarily personally like take it as like, this is what I believe. And so there was a lot, and that was kind of the pattern of all the questions, you know, like, what do you believe about, I think I asked her like, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Cause that kind of it, the conversation took that turn.
Explain a little more thoroughly her response to that, or response to that question,
yeah,
about Jesus Christ.
So it was very much like, well, he was a man that some people believe was sent from God. She wasn't like, I believe, or the Christians believe. It was just, some people believe this. Another lady that I interviewed, she came from a Catholic background, so she was raised like hearing those biblical and religious kind of ideas. And so it was very like Jesus Christ was sent from God, some people say. And yeah, it was very non-personal to both of them.
Thank you for doing that, even though I did thank you a couple years ago for doing it. Thank you again publicly. Thank you for this. Last question. How were you challenged and encouraged through the process?
I was 14 when I did this project. So going
ages ago,
maybe 15. I think it was 15. And like I had to go and talk to random people, you know, like that was, it was very challenging in that I had to go up to a random stranger and I didn't have to like part of the, we didn't have to say like, I'm a Christian, I'm going to defend my faith right now. Like that wasn't a requirement. It was simply like, I want to ask you about these truths. And that did make it easier. I didn't have to put forward like, I'm a Christian. But hopefully that was shown throughout the conversation. It was challenging in that both of the people that I remember interviewing knew basic truths. And they knew like, okay, there is a heaven and there is a hell and there are good people and there are bad people. And they knew these truths, but they didn't claim them as their own. They didn't think deeply about it, really past the fact of like, it's just a thought out there, but I'm not going to claim it. So it was very, it was challenging to see that part of the world and see people who know these truths and come from Catholic backgrounds and come from religious backgrounds and they can stand and be totally fine with not knowing how to answer the question, where do I go when I die? And so that was challenging. It was challenging to talk to people about it. As a 15-year-old, I was like, I don't know how to defend my faith to a Christian. How am I going to do it to a like atheist? And so that was definitely challenging. But I found that as I continued talking and as I was putting them, like as I was putting the burden of proof on them, I didn't have to do the whole like, I have to defend, I have to know exactly what to say, because it was on them and they had to defend it and they had to talk about it. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody, look.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to do an exercise as we watch a video together. We're going to watch a conversation take place that, I didn't check to see when it actually happened, but there's this sort of loose alliance for responsible citizenship that Jordan Peterson and others, if you've ever heard the name, started putting together. And anyways, there's a gentleman, Justin Brierley, who's a Christian writer, podcaster, and he brought together James Lindsay and Beth McGrew. And Beth McGrew is a Christian. She's a podcaster. She is an apologist. And James Lindsay is a former new atheist, having moved away from that persuasion, would now consider himself sort of agnostic, wrote a very formative book kind of on the heels of wokeism that came on the scene. And he wrote a book called Cynical Theories, really exposing critical theory and how critical theory that began in the universities has emerged into our cultural moment and what that looks like as it finds itself on all of these particular areas of our society with critical race theory, of ableism and the like, and why that's not good for society. Now we're going to watch this interview between this apologist and James Lindsay. And here's what I want you to do, and we're going to have some dialogue about this, of course, is I've given you the steps that we've already talked about, okay? Imagine you're in the Christian seat. You're listening to gather information. What does he believe? Where are points of contact? Remember we talked about where God's revelation is getting through to him? right? Signals of transcendence. He's saying this is true. It's getting through to him, okay? You're looking for that in this dialogue, right? And then you're thinking about, okay, what other questions would I ask that are not being asked? And then at the same time, you're kind of thinking about, where does this conviction of his deconstruct? Meaning, where does it break down? Okay? We talked last week about the four tests: consistency, coherence, evidence, explanation. Maybe those might come to mind in light of what we talked about as you're listening to James's response, okay? And then thinking about reversing the burden of proof, right? How would you do that? What would you ask? Is that happening in this conversation? Is it not? What else would you have said if you were Beth, okay? And this is what I want you to think about. So this requires what we've talked about, active listening, and it requires some critical thinking to be able to move forward with questions that you think are going to move the conversation along if they're not being asked already, okay? And so this is a hard exercise, and I think with 20 minutes of the interview, we're going to have some time to discuss. This might pour us into next week for conversation, which is totally fine. Again, I think this is going to be really helpful for you, and I think it also does speak into our current cultural moment, because it is very interesting to see a lot of these former or the new atheism ideology is collapsing in good ways in our favor, and yet at the same time to see this conversation in light of our class. All right. Okay. Say what you said again. Okay. He said that. Neither faith nor belief. Okay. Yeah, Charlie Kirk had appealed to him. You're not an atheist. You're more of an agnostic. And he said, well, I'll take that as a fair representation of myself. Good point. Well, that is a good question. Yeah, I didn't actually look that up, but you can chat GPT that later on. Maybe you'd find it quite quickly. Yeah, what else did you hear? Yeah, he values intellectual integrity. Okay. He said to be intellectually honest, right? Something we talked about in our class. That's good. He's not a moral relativist. Okay, he didn't say that in your words, but he's there. I saw another hand behind you. Yeah. Yeah. Good. He did. Right. Right. Sorry? And what it means to be human, yeah. Other, what else did you hear from him? Yep. Good. There's some standard of objective truth. Yeah, he didn't say that, but he's gleaning something. At least something that is what? That's Mark the Apologist. You're right. What did he talk about? They were trying to get to a conversation regarding cultural Christianity, not being antagonistic to it, but seeing it as what? Useful. Okay, utilitarianism. Okay. That pragmatically, practically, society should have it. It's good. It's useful. He sees the historical roots of that, right? The Western influence from Judeo-Christian morality, right? Yeah. Agreed. But that's not what he said. But agreed. Yes. That's happening. We're seeing that. Yeah. So there was another big point of contact, a value that he was really enamored with. Forgiveness. Forgiveness and repentance. He said that, right? That there's repentance and forgiveness.
which implies sin. Now, they didn't use that word, did he?
Yeah, he said, accept the sinner without.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, that we accept. He's reflecting on Germany with this woman that he's been reading, right? And he says, look, that we can, this tolerance idea, and he had a little sidebar about, you know, whether we Christians actually value tolerance or not, but that we accept the sinner but not the sin, which is very Christian, right? Very Christian. That forgiveness repentance is what? His value of forgiveness and repentance. In light of our class, what is that? Point of contact. He's borrowing God's capital. Right, right, right. He's borrowing it. It's good. It appeals to him, right? Okay. Okay, so he sits in this, he's trying to get on a fence, not willing to go back, but not willing to go forward with what's right in front of him, right? Thank you. It's a great point, right? We're at 10:50. What would you ask? We'll take this in the next week. It's totally fine. We'll probably watch it again next week so we can digest it more. What would you ask to gather more information? I'm not asking you to reverse the burden of proof, to now pin them up with, you know, the gotcha moment. What would you ask to gather more information? If you had this platform, you know, and let me just quickly qualify it, you know that you've got a few minutes. So it's not, you know, tell me about your grandfather. You know, what would be pertinent data that you'd like to know? Jim. Okay, where did the law come from? That Christ advanced from the Old Testament. Okay, good, good. Jay. Are you being honest with me in saying that you don't know what could convince you? Okay, okay. These are, and they are questions that are starting to, they're putting the ball back in his court, so there is a reversal that's happening here, right? It's getting the threat off of you. It's on him. I saw a hand in the back first here. Ken. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay. Isolating what he likes about it from its genesis, from where it came from. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. How is it that, are you suggesting that this document is partly lying to you? Okay. Okay. Which is supposed to be moral? Okay, good. What scares you about the metaphysical? What scares you about God? Maybe it doesn't scare him, but what does he not know that he doesn't know? Right? What does he know that he doesn't know? Okay, what else? We'll finish with this question, like this conversation for today. What else would you ask him? Okay, how do you mesh the metaphysical claims and the truth claims of the Bible? How do you measure them? Okay. Or perhaps how do you separate them out? Yeah. The Bible does. Yeah, we know that the Bible doesn't do what Immanuel Kant did, right? It separate he separated the noumenal from the phenomenal, which is this metaphysical from the observable reality of what Christianity teaches. right? And you're saying, what would be that question?
How do you separate?
Yeah, how do you get to separate it? Yeah, that's a bit of a reverse the burden for sure. Yeah. Jesus advanced the law. Okay, how did Jesus advance the law? Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, get some further clarity on that. What else? Brooke. Yeah. Why is forgiveness so important to you? Okay, what do you believe about life after death? Yeah. Melissa. Okay, what do you believe about Jesus? Okay, where does sin come from? If he's willing to acknowledge it, maybe start there. So you believe there are sins. Where does that come from? Okay. Yeah. He talked about sinner's sin within the context of what Christianity teaches, and he likes that. Is he willing to claim that as his own, that there really are sins? And where does that come from? Good. Okay, I blanked for a second. Say that out.
If these moral laws are visible and helpful in culture, where does that transcendence come from?
Yeah. Okay, good. Yes, Ken. Okay, yeah. Is the creation of mankind a metaphysical thing or not? Good. Yeah, that'll put it back into his firmer atheist persuasion, right? That we're just kind of rolling along from non-metaphysical, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Are there other religious texts that you, sorry, finish that? Right. Good, yeah. How do you compare this scripture to other, quote, scriptures? Yes. How do you, do you value those as equally or not? Yeah. Good. One more. Go ahead. How do you know where to study in the Bible? Yeah, it sounds like you're talking to Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. Yeah, great. Okay, good. We're going to hit pause here. We're going to come back to continue to watch it and have another pause and some more discussion. As we talk through, okay, think of yourself in her, sorry, Beth McGrew's situation, and what would you ask, and then what would you say? How would you try to move Lindsay James to who he is before God? And I want to pause at this point again, which we talked about weeks ago. With unbelievers, we actually have everything in common metaphysically. And they suppress that. Made in God's image, with a spirit, going to die. They're sinners. They need forgiveness. You will live for eternity. We have everything in common. I want you to keep that in mind. And how would you move in that direction? Okay? So we'll pause there for today. Thank you. See you next week. All right? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that you continue to use this time and our time moving forward, that you would further equip us, not that we might merely destroy strongholds in logic, but rather strongholds in people's lives, that they might come to know you, the risen God, and they might glorify you and worship you in the face of what Christ has done on their behalf. We ask that you would equip us for this. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow our zeal for people around us that you've given to us and the boundaries you've set for us, that you would also give us the lips that would acknowledge your name. In Christ's name, amen.